When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This week on Below Deck Med, Aisha and Chef Tom got into it in the galley over cucumbers and avocado, and Jess and Rob's romance continued to struggle.
Captain Sandy stood by why she woke Tom up for the cucumber request on BravoTV.com's Below Deck Med after show, while Tom explained his reasons for erupting on Aisha, and Aisha responded to the confusing exchange, calling Tom a bratty three-year-old, saying that she saw evil in his eyes.
Plus, Bugsy weighed in on pushing Jess and Rob to have a conversation after their dramatic night out and the teary morning. Did they say I love you too soon?
And remember, some of the voices you'll hear beyond the crew members are executive producer Nadine Rajabi and our very own podcast guest Josh Brown, VP of Bravo's current production, aka the people who know all the secrets.
So at this point in the charter, we see you and Tom kind of get into it a little bit over some cucumbers and some avocados.
Oh, honestly, yeah. Hey, this like f***ed me off so much. He was such a f***ing prick, man.
You didn't have the ability to slice a bit of cucumber.
Wasn't my call. I'm sorry.
All right. Whatever you're saying, just give me the f***ing avocado. Jesus Christ, don't try and do it now.
None of it was my fault. I literally had no idea what was going on. We were having our jiu-jitsu lesson, and then obviously the girls happened to go in at that time to ask for a snack, and it was all fucking Captain Sandy. She's the one that went down there and woke Tom up and rah-rah. I literally had nothing to do with it, and then I'm the one that has to get like the full fucking fury of him.
You didn't have the ability to slice a bit of cucumber.
It wasn't my call.
You did.
Santa, yeah. I'm sorry.
There's no point in apologizing.
No, I'm just saying that it wasn't my fault.
All right, whatever you're saying, thank you.
Jesus, are you mad at me? No matter how tired I've ever been, I have never, ever spoken to a colleague like that in the workplace.
All right, thank you.
I promise you I had nothing to do with this.
Hey, look, really, I'm not interested.
He was like a bratty three-year-old, you know? I was already, like, trying not to cry. And then she asked for avocado, and in my head I was just like, f***, like, I just do not need to ask this person for more stuff. And, you know, he was having such a f***ing cry about, you know, why can't I slice these things? Why can't I? So when I went back, I was like, okay, well, then I will do this one.
Just give me the f***ing avocado. Jesus Christ, don't try and do it now.
I literally came into the galley and Sandy said that Tom's coming up. I had nothing to do with it. I don't even know what's going on. I just like went into such a shock that I just like started crying because I was like, I don't know what's happening. What have I done? I had nothing to do with it. I don't even know what's going on.
All right, calm down with the waterworks.
Why are you giving me attitude? Just calm down. And when he's like, oh, okay, stop it with the waterworks. And I just remember thinking like, wow, like, this is super dark.
I snapped at Aisha for that, and it's not her fault. But, I mean, we all know where cucumbers are kept, more likely than not in the fridge. The knives are on display on a magnet. There's always a chopping board very visibly there, whether it's a chef one or, you know, one that the interior used for chopping lemons and limes. Just do it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating anyway.
For someone to act in that way, it just seemed like real sinister. And I don't know, it just like made me see him in a completely new light. Like, I don't know, it's almost like I saw like this evil in his eyes. And I was like, man, like you have quite a holy side of you that I didn't realize, you know?
When I heard what Tom had said to Aisha, I, you know, like a part of me was just like, oh, Tom, like, that was just such a grumpy, tired Tom thing to say. You know, he doesn't mean it harmfully. He's just a grumpy chef.
It just really showed me a side to his personality that I was like, this is past just being a this is like, this is just like someone that I don't really want to be around kind of thing. And so, yeah, from that moment on, I was just like, I'm going to be professional with this guy, but I don't really want anything to do with him, you know?
I mean, what can I say? Like, clearly I'm the only person on the boat that can chop a cucumber. That's pretty much what I get from it.
Oh, God.
When a couple of guests are asking you for cucumbers, you end up finding Tom on break after calling for him on the radio.
I was looking for somebody to get some cucumbers.
You want some cucumbers?
Yeah. Chef, this is his radio. Someone find the chef. We need some chopped up cucumbers.
Yeah. In my garden.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me go get the chef. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Is Tom in there?
Yeah.
The client wants some cucumbers with olive oil and salt.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. I didn't know, and I'm knocking on his door because the client, I happen to walk in, the guests are in the galley, and I'm like, you know, isn't that, you know, par for the course? It's like Murphy's Law. The minute you go lay down, the captain walks in at the same time the guests are looking for the chef. What are the chances of that happening? So where's my head go? Well, where's the chef? I didn't know he was down for a nap, you know, so, and that happens so often on a boat. It's like the worst timing. And, but yet I see it and it's like, wow, well, I can't not address this.
You're walking through the galley to go down to the crew cabins to wake a chef, to then get him to go back to the galley to chop a cucumber. Surely you just, I mean, we all know where cucumbers are kept. Just do it. Like if a guest asked me for a bottle of sparkling water, I wouldn't go and find a stewardess to go and find it. If I know where, if I can use my common sense and I know where it is, I just do it.
He got really upset because he just needed rest.
Who's coming?
This is a joke.
I would think the chef would say, hey, I'm going down for a nap, Captain. If the guests need any food, if it's something simple, do you think the chief stew can cover it? You know what I'm going to say? Yes. You think I'm going to wake him up? No.
I think that situation was a huge miscommunication because I think Captain Sandy came and knocked on the cabin door to get Tom up because she didn't know Tom was on break. Then, you know, I don't think Tom radioed that he was on break.
All right. I'm going to break.
Miscommunications happen, you know, and chefs are grumpy when they're tired.
I want them to have rest because I want them to be their best at their performance in every capacity, no matter what their department is. I, you know, I'm not in the business to trash people, but it's not a chef's job to watch the guests. It's the interior's job. Okay. So that starts with the chief stew. The chief stew has to delegate as well. So if the chief stew is resting, she's got her number two. They're watching cameras. You watch when the guests look like they want to drink, you're on it. No matter what, someone's always watching the camera. And that's how it usually is. And that's the breakdown here. In all fairness to Tom, Tom just came off of an 80 meter. So he had a sous chef. He could go down anytime he wanted. He'd just have a sous chef, you know, prep for him.
With the cucumber, like you have to take your break whenever you can get one because you're the sole chef. On a bigger boat, you could probably avoid it a bit. You might have a bit more structure in having time off and you can generally keep a chef in the galley all the time, but chefs are, their hours are 100% dictated by the guests. You're just standing by, you're not on a break, but if it's a miscommunication, then that's all it is.
He had a radio saying he was going down, Malia had, but not Tom. And so it was just a giant miscommunication, and watching it go down, was one of those things where you're like, oh God, this is such a like, it's just a misunderstanding. And it was like, it was a series of errors, basically.
So the crew got pretty wild on the night out in Ibiza.
That was fun.
I remember getting out the taxi and the walk back.
Is this when we carried Aisha home? Come on, lady, you got this.
I'm good. Oh. You just hold on to me if you want.
I'll walk. I don't give a s***.
Jess, do you want a hand as well? Come on.
Yep.
This is called a chain gang.
Yeah.
Don't Google that in porn images.
I was just so tired. I was kind of like just trying to get through it, and then I remember just like suddenly, like I was fine, like I was actually quite enjoying it, and then I think I just like, you know how it takes you a while for when you're drinking, because I'm not used to drinking spirits, and when you're drinking spirits you're kind of like you're fine, and then it's like oof, you're all of a sudden, it must have hit me, and I just remember drunkenly crying. I think I was just so tired and I was just so homesick, and I'd obviously been like holding that in because I just joined this new crew and I was meant to be like all excited. But yeah, I guess, you know, they say when you're drunk is when your true feelings come out or whatever. And I don't really remember much after that, and like I, well, you know, it was the first night, so I didn't really know everyone, and it just like wasn't as fun as it had been in the past. You know, we just had such a good crew for season 4, and it's like every time we went out it was just so much fun, we all just clicked so well. But coming onto this boat, I don't know what it was, but I just found it really hard to click and get my place. I definitely feel like people made an effort to welcome me, and like everyone was super nice. I'd say probably Alex was like the easiest one to get along with, but I think, yeah, it's just difficult having someone new come in that late, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, but I definitely appreciate it. Like everyone tried to make an effort to chat to me and try and get to know me, and yeah.
So Bugsy, you have witnessed a few of Rob and Jess's ups and downs.
I know that they had their issues. I remember there was like a big fight at the club, and I just remember being like, what is going on?
I give a shit. You want to play these games? Go. I didn't come here to play this shit with you.
Maybe it's not meant to be here.
Thank you.
Why are we angry with each other?
I just remember the next day after that, Jess, you were crying. I remember you like were just really upset, and I went to Rob and I was like, Rob, like, you guys need to sort this out. Like, not even just for the sake of the crew, but for yourselves. Like, you guys need to sort this out.
You guys are not coming out of here until it's resolved.
But I had no idea. Like, it's not like in a bad way, but I didn't really want to know what was going on. I was more like, this is between them. They need to sort it out.
Yeah.
How are Brangelina? Are they okay?
I don't know.
You know, the more crew that get involved, the messier it becomes.
The worse it is. Yeah, you don't want people to know your crap.
And like, I think for me as well, the reason I didn't like, you know, I'm a girl's girl. Like, so usually I would be like very much like involved in it all. But I also felt like very much between a rock and a hard place, because I know like Aisha's name was brought up.
Go ahead, Mark.
Was like Jess and Aisha, both like my stews and my team, and it was like I just wanted them to sort it out between themselves.
So how are we gonna move on from this?
I want us to be in the space we were a few days ago, and we have been this whole time.
I agree. I've never been on a vessel and been in a relationship with someone. Like, it's just a relationship and working and everything else that was going on. It's like the whole, it was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of, it was tough trying to balance it, and I think you can see the struggle that I went through in trying to do that as well.
I am so sorry that you were so involved in that conversation.
Why are you shouting at me?
So why the did I change my ticket to Bali? Can't answer me now.
I didn't come here to play this shit with you.
Maybe it's not meant to be, yeah.
Thank you.
from the outsider's perspective, I was like, wow, this is very intense, like very quickly. This like looks like a little bit of a recipe for disaster. You know what I mean? Like not like in a bad way to you, Jace. Even watching Rob say like, I love you so early on.
I love you.
What?
What?
Like I watched that and was like, wait, what? Like I had to like rewind it. I'm like, did he just say I love you? Like,
see, I was gonna say, did you guys know that? Like,
no,
yeah.
Idea. But I think, you know, it comes with yachting.
Everyone knows that like a boat romance is, you're in such a false environment. It's like you can't actually tell or like know what you're like together until you've like gone away from the boat and you've like been together in like a normal situation. Because when you're trapped on a boat with people, like the people that you end up finding yourself somehow attracted to is just so weird, because you're just like stuck together, you're exhausted, like you're in your own bubble, and everyone knows that. And so when she told me that, when they both came on the boat and they've already said I love you, I was like,
were you guys at the I love you type stage? Or
oh, not I love you, we're only on here for 6 weeks.
We're already saying
are you,
it.
Oh. Are you serious?
There's no way you can know each other enough to actually say that and mean it. It's like, you know, you can really, really like each other, but, you know, it's very intense to be saying I love you that soon, you know?
They got pretty intense pretty quickly. They said I love you, and I can kind of relate to that. Like, relationships on boats can get very intense very quickly. Anytime, like with filming, and I can obviously speak to this.
Wes, you and Adam both kiss me tonight.
You got to try it outside of filming and see what happens then.
You know, if you like somebody, then you like somebody. And it's a bit serious, a bit soon for other people, you know. But if they were happy and they were both happy to go along at that pace, I think it's fine.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, 15% off your first order with code WONDERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Alex, you seem kind of quiet. Do you have any experience dating on yachts?
No.
So we often see provisions go really right or really wrong.
I just got a message from the provisioner.
Yeah.
They said that you requested 2 kilograms and that was what was delivered. And she says the provider doesn't have more muscles.
But how do provisions on boats actually work?
It's like you calling your local supermarket and just having them drop off what it is that you order.
There are these companies that are able to source everything. When you're on a yacht, you don't have that time. So basically you're putting together your shopping list, if you will, your provision list, and you call the provisioner and you say, these are my wants, this is what I need. And they come and deliver everything to you in that big truck that you guys see. And that's, you know, from anywhere from floral arrangements to party supplies to, you know, decor to food to, I mean, anything. You can call and say, hey, I need to get a, you know, Atlantic salmon, and you're in the middle of, I don't know where you are. Like, they can fly that over to you.
The places that they can get provisions to, it's unbelievable. You know, they'll charter seaplanes and have the provisions landing next to you in the South Pacific if you need it. It's, they are quite amazing at what they do. You might be asking for quite niche things or quite specific items.
I can get anything in the world. You give me 48 hours, I can get you a dodo by tomorrow.
You want an emu, you know, shipped over from whatever country, not that emus can go on yachts unless they're emotional sport animals and the owner elects them, but you know, you should be able to request anything you want.
So there's a lot of things to consider as far as provisions go. You have to think about the crew and any dietary requirements or even like religious or cultural requirements. So, you know, if you have a lot of, say, East Asian people working on your boat, you probably actually, as a cultural requirement, you should be cooking rice quite often. And that's kind of how that is. And then obviously quantities. What if the guests come on board and suddenly everybody wants a green juice, and then you've run out of all of your green vegetables in one day? Well, you didn't see that coming. So, you know, you need to kind of make allowances for things like that.
It seems to me that ordering from a provisioner is kind of an art form for a yacht chef. Like, I don't know if anyone remembers from last season when Chef Mila first got on board, she way over ordered her provisions.
Holy crap.
So much, eh?
Who ordered that? Jesus Christ.
Which I think was a bit of a tip off to some of her fellow crew members that, you know, maybe she didn't have it all together.
It didn't make the show just because of showtime, but, you know, she'd ordered, I think, 32 cans of whipped cream, whatever it was, but it was interesting.
It's kind of a big game. I suppose with a bit of experience, you kind of work out roughly what you need. And also you start to build a rapport with your provisioner.
You have to be able to know that you can count on them and they're going to deliver to you something on a timely matter. You're depending on someone else to bring you what you've ordered.
They save your backside so many times. It's amazing when they do it right. All bases are covered. All bases are covered. Is that a baseball phrase?
Yeah, there you go. Maybe. Tom, you received 1 kilo of frozen mussels from the provisions.
Ugh, it's such a joke, isn't it?
Tom, I just got a message from the provisioner.
Yeah.
They said that you requested 2 kilograms and that was what was delivered. And she says the provider doesn't have more mussels. Right.
This is all the fish that came on just now.
Yeah.
1 kilo.
It's Mallorca, it's the summer. Like, how can you not get 2 kilo of fresh mussels? It just doesn't add up. So, and the fact that I was saying, hey, look, this is the actual problem. And I had the scales out, so I was weighing them.
This job that I'm having to do now, they're making me out to be a liar as to how many kilos there are. So I had to take a photo of it and send it to her.
I could clearly see what they were. So there's no point in trying to argue that point. Either way, why would we want on a yacht, bearing in mind the amount of these guests pay, why do they want to eat frozen mussels? You know, it just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, really frustrating. And then the fact that the fresh mussels come later anyway.
Tom?
Yeah?
They apologised. They were in the wrong. They've sent you
the mussels free of charge. Tell them to go themselves. Just get it right the first time.
Well, you did have them. You could get them. And some of the times with provisions, there was such a nightmare. They would mess me around all the time. Like one week, you've got these amazing cherry tomatoes, which every single one is absolutely immaculate. And the next week, it's like, what is this? That kind of knocks your confidence as well, because you're only really as good as provisions. You can only serve what you get sent. So it's, you know, if you don't have complete faith in what you have in the fridge or in the freezer or wherever it is, then, yeah, you're already on the back foot. So it can kind of knock your confidence a bit.
Like, that was a huge deal because they're already cooked and frozen. So he's like, if somebody doesn't like them, that's not me seasoning those mussels or cooking them the way I want. At that point, you're just reheating something.
Yeah. And you know, it's not like you can go run to the store and pick up, you know, a replacement. Like, they're about to leave to go out to sea. You know, if you don't get what you need from the provisioner, it's a serious problem. Strikes me that being a chef is all about control and what you can control, particularly a yacht chef, and even more particularly a yacht chef like Tom here, who's working solo. Like, everything is up to him and everything is on him. And really, the success of the charter is so much on him. You know, Sandy always says that like, if the guests aren't happy with the food, they're not going to have a good charter. So everything is on this one person to deliver, and he needs to be in control of his galley. And then he's not getting the supplies that he needs. That upset him so much and you know, set him off. That had to be, you know, an enormous stress to him.
You're pulling into the slip and something goes horribly wrong.
Hey, this rudder's going back to port. I lost the bow thruster. Drop the anchor. The engines are gone.
The entire boat lost power. As I'm swinging around in that tight slip, David, him and I, we were like squirrels running back and forth on the bridge.
As soon as we lost it, I was like, oh no, that was the bow thruster.
Why is our stern going this way? The wind and no thruster.
As bosun in that moment, you have to be really alert because she's going to rely on you a lot more in that situation, you know, especially with how the wind was that day. And that was a pretty tricky spot to get into, even with the bow thruster. So yeah, that was a little nerve wracking.
She lost controls. And I just remember like, we're like, kind of like, what's happening? You don't kind of hear anything, this and that. I think all we could do is just get fenders, make sure we're not going to hit anyone.
The control room went dark during that time. We have no screens. We don't know what's happening. I remember the boat literally started making a left turn while we were driving. We're like, oh my God. Like, it felt like we were just on our side. And if your generators are out, your bow thrusters are out. Everything is out.
There was that gray area where we all, where it was like a little bit of a panic situation. The emergency generator should have kicked in and it could have like saved the situation, but that's a lot of pressure for someone in a maneuvering in a space like that to maneuver such a big vessel in such a small place. Yeah, it was kind of a stressful time.
I lose bow thruster as I'm coming into the dock. I'm like, no bow thruster. I'm ringing the bridge because when you pick up a phone, there's lights that go off in the engine room that the phone's ringing because they can't hear. And now they have earplugs in, they pick up this phone, and I'm like, I have no bow thruster. So he has to reset everything.
My heart's racing.
And then the phone rang because they got the generator back on, and he goes, you have engines.
Okay, now the bow thruster's on.
That is one scary feeling for a captain.
That was some freaky shit.
And I was like, oh my God.
That must be like, you know, I empathize with Captain Sandy like that. Like, imagine you don't know this vessel. We all don't know the vessel. She's in the most intense position out of all of us. And something like that goes down, like, that's tough.
Captain Sandy, you know, she doesn't have years experience driving that boat. She steps on that boat the same time we do. That's so nerve-wracking, I bet. Like, not knowing how that boat handles in those conditions and then without a thruster, like, mad props to Captain Sandy for that. I mean, it's funny to see how each department reacts to it because on deck, obviously, losing your bow thruster is like a huge deal. Interior probably didn't notice.
Yeah.
But they're like vacuuming and still vacuuming, just nothing's going on.
Sandy came into the galley and she was like, oh, have you got your ovens on? Like, you know, there's a huge amount of power. So, yeah. You know, there's a reason why the generator's tripped. I'm like, pretty sure it's not the ovens that did that.
Yeah, I remember that. She's like, do you have both ovens on?
What?
You're like, no.
Yeah, sorry about that. My fault. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me one more time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.